Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet of Mars.
I've been obsessed with Mars. Haven't we all? I mean, Martians.
Sure.
It's Bill Lepp. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to be talking about Mars. Will we be able to see it with the naked eye? Is this the closest it's ever been to Earth? I know it's no. Michelle Nichols is here, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Michelle, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm a bit of a planet outer space nerd. I really am. It's so cool to think about it. The big red planet is Mars. Why are Martians green then?
Oh, gosh. Well, if they were red, you wouldn't see them.
All right. That was a great answer. But see why I like her?
Of all the planets, Christmas must be insane on Mars with all the red and all the green.
That's my gosh. One of the worst movies ever made.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Yes. If you haven't seen it.
Love it.
Yeah, it's
so
worth
much
it.
Fun.
All right, so we're going to talk about the lunar eclipse because Steve Bertrand brought that up, and everybody, this is the water cooler talk. Everybody's talking about this lunar eclipse that's happening. Let's start there. We can't see it from Chicago, can
nope.
we?
Nope. It's starting in about 2 hours-ish Chicago time, and the sun's up, and so here, so that means the moon is not up, because when the sun goes down, the full moon rises. So you have to be on a part of the Earth that faces the moon in order to see that lunar eclipse. So folks over in Europe, the Middle East, Africa, parts of Asia, they're going to be able to see the lunar eclipse at various times of the night. So
usually lose out on great stuff in space because of all the lights in the city. So this time it's not because of all the lights.
Right.
It's just literally
we are not facing the moon when this eclipse is occurring. However, there is at least one observatory. Barakat Observatory in Israel is going to be live webcasting the eclipse if it's clear where they are. So you can go online and just search for that and should be able to watch it.
All right. These are where my dumb questions come from. I'm sorry.
All right.
It's a lunar eclipse. So what's... The sun is going past it?
Nope. So what's happening? Mm. That's all right. So sometimes the names can be a little confusing, and this one isn't exactly descriptive. So, or properly descriptive. So what's happening is you've got the sun, the earth, and the moon in a line. So sun shines on earth, earth casts a shadow, the moon passes through that shadow, and that's where you get that kind of reddish color. So that's what a lunar eclipse is.
And how come there are some nights where you see the moon before it's dark out?
That's because the moon is...
Do you know what I mean? Have you seen
that? To Wendy's credit, that's a great question.
Yeah, it's a question
people have. The first one was horrible, Wendy. But that question, that's a real question.
Right. People have that question a lot. So the moon, as it goes around the Earth, there's a lot of times in the moon's orbit where it's up during the day.
Yeah.
You just don't really notice it because the sky is so bright that you don't really notice the moon. So like first quarter moon, for example, when the right half of the moon is lit up, that is when the moon is making a 90-degree angle with the Earth and the sun. So it's sun, Earth, and make a 90-degree angle to the right, and that would be where the moon is. And so if you've got the two things in the sky, you've got the moon is 90 degrees away from the sun. And so that means when the sun goes down, the moon is high in the south.
Right. Okay.
But if you wind the clock backwards a little bit, it means the sun is up and the moon is in the eastern part of the sky. I know this is kind of hard to describe when we're on the radio. So folks are kind of going, what?
No, it makes sense.
It did make sense.
Yeah, next time, look for first quarter moon, for example. Look at the date. You can look them up. And look for the moon in the sky, in the eastern sky, when the sun is in the western sky. And you'll see it.
There was a very bright moon last night.
Yeah.
Was that a full?
Not quite. So you need full moon for that lunar eclipse to occur. So full moon is tonight.
Okay.
So, but it was almost full last night.
It was pretty beautiful and bright.
It was. Yeah, we were looking at it through the telescopes last night.
What do you see? Does it really look like cheese? Do you see Jackie Gleason? Another dumb question.
Jackie Gleason, haven't seen him.
No, his face is not appearing in the moon yet.
They have craters that's where the moon is made of cheese theory
came
from.
Right, it looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
It would have to be just your regular white Swiss. So, but the sunlight, if it's not full moon, then the sunlight is shining on some of these craters and you can see them and the mountains. You can see relief on the moon. So seeing the moon when it's not, anytime when it's not full moon, that's a great time to point a telescope at the moon.
Really? Because there's some darkness there?
Yeah. As long as there's a line of darkness, we call that the terminator. So where the shadow meets the light part. If you can see that shadow where it meets the light part, that's where you want to point your telescope. Or even a pair of binoculars works great.
What do you say to the moon landing deniers who say it was all done in a TV studio, nobody's been on the
moon? Who really believes that? Come on.
There are people.
About 20% of the American public.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
And still to this day.
Yeah.
Because there's a really terrible TV show on about 15-ish years ago, and it seemed pretty convincing. But if you take a look at the science, none of it stacks up. My really snarky answer is, I had lunch with Buzz Aldrin. The man's been to the moon.
Yeah, right.
And don't cross him. but I think it is so... It says, does such a bad service to 400,000 people who worked on the Apollo moon program.
Sure.
And claiming that those people were all part of a conspiracy and a hoax.
Yeah.
Really? No, the simpler answer is we went to the moon.
Yeah.
And so I invite anyone to look up. There's a gentleman by the name of Phil Plait, and he has an astronomy site called Bad Astronomy, and he completely debunks the moon hoax thing.
Good.
Yeah, check that out.
I have another question about the moon. I think it's called the Harvest Moon. I could be wrong, but I do like Neil Young. It's giant and orange, and sometimes you see that, and in a matter of an hour, it's just back up in the sky like a regular size. Yep. What is that, and why is it so big at some point?
So every full moon has a name, or more than one name. So some names are given by Native American people. Some names are given by Europeans. There's one called the Strawberry Moon. There's the moon before Yule, the moon after Yule. It's basically what's going on at that time and which full moon is this. And so that one usually occurs somewhere around mid-September to mid-October, so around harvest time. And the moon is rising pretty slowly in the sky. It's taking kind of a shallow angle, and when you see it on the horizon, it looks huge, but it's all an optical illusion. And here's an experiment that you can do. Don't do this in the car, people. Not
pull
you
over.
Want to make sure pull. Well, you don't do it right now because you can't see the moon. But next time you see full moon, so if you see it tonight, go outside, check for it near the horizon. So when the sun goes down, start looking for the moon. It'll be in the eastern sky. Take your thumb. Stick your thumb out at arm's length and compare the size of the moon to the tip of your thumb. Mm-hmm. And the answer is it'll be about 1/4 the width of your thumb. And then do that again when the moon is higher in the sky, maybe 2 hours later, 3 hours later. It'll be the same size. I realize in a perfect world I would not give you the science answer before you do the experiment, but so
why wouldn't it be bigger as it was coming?
It's an optical illusion. Your brain is essentially trying to compare it to the horizon and what it sees, and your brain's trying to make sense of this, and
even
it can't.
Big giant harvest moon, if I put my thumb out.
Yep.
Wendy's
really?
Got pretty big thumbs, though, Michelle. Does that change the equation a little bit?
She might have slightly longer arms.
Maybe that's
so
what it is.
So it all evens out.
But it's an illusion the same way when you're a kid and your parents are driving in a car and you see the moon off in the horizon behind the trees and you go, the moon is following us, right? It's the same principle.
Yeah, the moon is not following you. Or maybe it is.
All right, we are going to find out. That's our lunar portion. We are going to find out about Mars and also this cool program that's happening through the Adler Planetarium that was your brainchild. We'll talk about that. She's Michelle Nichols, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. You can go to adlerplanetarium.org. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN. All right, we are talking about Mars. It's heading our way. Michelle Nichols is with us, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Now, I read something saying last night I was with my kids. I said, oh, look at how big the moon is. I said, sometime this weekend, Mars is going to be right next to it and just as big. That's not accurate,
nope,
is it?
Not at all. No. Mars is never, ever, ever as big as the full moon in the sky. If it is, we have problems. So for Mars to be as big as the full moon in the sky, it would have to be less than 500,000 miles away from us. And the closest Mars has been in the last 60,000 years is about 35 million miles away. That was 2003.
Yeah.
But on Monday night into Tuesday morning, Mars is going to be as close as it's been to Earth since 2003, and it'll be about a little under 36 million miles
away. Does that alter the gravitational pull of the Earth at all?
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope.
Because if the moon gets closer, it does, right?
A little bit. It mostly would just affect tides, but not any of us. But it makes Mars look really bright in the sky.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
And is it like an orangey red?
Yes. Very, very much.
So
yes.
This will stand out more. Because I've seen it. There are apps you can get that show you what constellation you're looking at or if that's a planet. And I don't know if my eye tricks me into seeing it being a little reddish. But will we truly be able to see the color this time?
Absolutely. We were looking at it last night and it is blazingly bright orange. You cannot mistake it. Yes.
All right. And you're having a viewing party on Monday night, because when is the peak of looking at this?
2:51 a.m. Central Daylight Time Tuesday morning is when Mars and Earth are closest. However, if it's cloudy, if you don't want to be up at 2:51 in the morning, and I don't blame you, you can look at it from now till the end of August, and it'll still be that bright. So it'll start dimming out as Earth and Mars start going away from each other a bit in the solar system, but that's throughout the fall. So you definitely have time to see it.
I want to ask you this question, but I want to ask it correctly. So as soon as I'm wrong, just stop me. That's record time. That's
that
record
was time. Wendy, not
all right.
Me.
All right. So they've always believed that if there was water on Mars, either currently or at any time in the past, it would have evaporated very quickly because of the heat. Right.
Not because of heat.
Because of why?
Low air pressure.
Low air pressure.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
But now they think that there is water there.
Yeah. So there was an exciting news story from a couple days ago where scientists on the Mars Express spacecraft team said that their radar data strongly suggests that there is liquid water in some mixture. It could be liquid water. It could be water mixed with rocks and stones and stuff underneath the south polar cap of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it wouldn't boil away because the ice would keep it from boiling away.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say for 100% sure that it's there until we send something there to drill down in the ice and strike water. But it is strongly suggestive that this lake.
That's big news.
Yeah, huge news.
That's big news.
Yeah.
And they think that there's a component similar to salt. I don't know, if they had salt on Mars, it wouldn't be exactly like our salt, would it?
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, salty could be regular salt, could be some other kind of salt. There are different kinds of salts.
Yeah.
But kosher salt,
Epsom salt.
Right. Right. And so, right, because Epsom salt is magnesium chloride. So I think. Oh.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. Okay, good. And so, yeah.
How do you know?
I don't know.
But what's really amazing is the temperature of that water could be extraordinarily low. Could be 90 degrees below zero. How do you have water
and
liquid?
And it stays liquefied?
Right. How do you have that happen? Well, you throw enough salt in it, it's going to lower the freezing point. And so
let's say that this is true, and we hope that it is true. Does that equal life on Mars because of this?
It equals, go study that, because that could be an interesting habitat for life to exist on Mars if it's there.
How did you guys discover this? Like infrared things through a telescope?
Radar. So they send radar waves from this spacecraft down to the surface. And normally what they're looking for is water, ice. But the radar reflections that they got back, they're like, that's not ice. That's potentially liquid. They tried to rule out other possibilities, and they said the one piece that stayed in the data was it could be water. It could be liquid water. So, but
that's
yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to think of. It would be the first planet other than Earth to have liquid water on its surface.
That we know of. There
that
could
we know
be
of.
Other
right.
planets out
well,
there in another
exactly
solar system.
Exactly right. There are other worlds in our solar system with liquid water, but it's below the surface.
So when this news came out the other day, did people in your line of work just go nuts?
Flipped out.
I bet.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
We had to temper our flipping out a little bit, because we're like, oh, wait, this is really cool. Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's make sure no one else is out there saying no, but it could be this. But even NASA said, a scientist from JPL said, plausible. And Mythbusters fans, we all know plausible is about as good as you get in science until you go like drill in the ice and strike water.
Oh, yeah. That's big.
It amazes me to think about the ocean and how big it spans and how much life is out there and you don't know. That's like the solar system.
Yeah.
Space, the final frontier, Bill.
Yes.
There's a watch party Monday night. How do people get involved with watching the Mars event?
So we're there free. Come out 9 to 11 p.m. Even if it turns out to be cloudy, I think we're still planning on being there. But check our Twitter and Facebook feeds just to be on the safe side. We don't want people to trudge all the way down there if we're going to get rained on or anything like that. But we'll have folks out there. You can touch a piece of Mars while you're there. So that Mars in the sky up there, you'll be able to hold a piece of it in your hand.
Oh, that's exciting.
And another thing, you have Scopes in the City. And again, you can find this at AdlerPlanetarium.org and on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Tell us what Scopes in the City is. This is so cool.
We take telescopes out to various places, including libraries, parks, and businesses. And some of those businesses include tap rooms. And last night we were at Five Rabbit Cerveceria in Bedford Park, and we've been to others, and we're going to a few more, including a few here in Chicago. Beguile, Dovetail, Half Acre, and we know beer drinkers love their science. So come on out, beer drinkers.
Why not Blue Moon then? Doesn't make sense.
Oh, we just had to choose 10 of them, and those are the 10 that I started with.
Oh,
and
all right.
So if anyone has any suggestions for good tap rooms to go to, let me know.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. Michelle Nichols, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Some interesting things going on in the world of space right now. You can go to AdlerPlanetarium.org. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Look them up. Thank you so much.
Thank
and come
you
back
very
and
much.
See us again.
I will.
All right. A quick break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.